If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk. This is the Tougher Minds podcast, and once again, we're discussing a concept from our free ebook, The Elite Business Athlete. The book explains how performance secrets from global sporting icons can be beneficial and transformative for everyone. It's free to download from tougherminds.co.uk. We start this podcast by asking Tougher Minds founder Dr. John Finn to explain exactly what is confidence and how it affects us as people.
We think of confidence as a belief in yourself, but it's divided into two core parts. One is an overall belief in your ability to do something. And the second part is the evidence that you've got that you can actually do that thing. So you need both an overall belief system in your ability to do, to be a leader, for example, but then you need some evidence to back that up. And if you get the two together, you've got really robust confidence levels. And in the literature, academically, we call that self-esteem and self-efficacy.
And why is that so important for people to function well and perform well? It's we've talked in previous podcasts about how people are predisposed to perhaps dwell on threats or concerns and worry. So why is confidence important to them?
Because that's probably the number one way to help you to pay attention to things that are helpful for you. So if you have a belief system and evidence that you can do something particularly well, then it's much easier not to keep dwelling on the unhelpful thoughts. So really, if we think about concepts like emotional regulation, self-control, which are at the heart of what we're interested in at Tougher Minds, then confidence is intrinsically connected to those ideas. The ability to manage what you're paying attention to is really what confidence is. And, you know, good confidence is often described as not getting too high, not getting too low. And we know from Barbara Fredrickson's work on flourishing and languishing that humans who are flourishing seem to be processing, on average, around 3 helpful emotions to every 1 unhelpful emotion. And she calls that grounded positivity. So this need to keep, to be able to pay attention to things that are helpful for you, but also to be aware of things that you can get better at as well. And that's why the House of Confidence symbol we use looks like it does. It's got a 3-to-1 ratio in there of the hack brain and the ape brain. So, if we unpick all these concepts of resilience, bounce back ability, they're all about being able to not dwell on the unhelpful information and get your attention onto what is helpful for you. But as Fredrickson points out, there's a ratio going on there, at least 3-to-1.
Yeah, and I think you've certainly talked away from the podcast to me previously about the ability to manage confidence, which might be a phrase that takes some people by surprise, but I think there you've hinted at exactly how people might go about it. We'll talk more about that in a few moments, but in the Elite Business Athlete, the free ebook, which is available for download on tougherminds.co.uk, the chapter in which you analyse and discuss confidence includes another case study, of course, from the world of elite sport. This particular one is Jessica Ennis-Hill, of course, a Olympic gold medal winner in the heptathlon, double world heptathlon champion, highly decorated athlete, arguably one of Britain's greatest all-time athletes. But there's a fascinating case study in there about how she had a very much confidence-knocking episode in her career.
Yeah, so a little-known story, really, because it happened when Jess wasn't very famous, but she fractured her right foot, which was her dominant takeoff foot in the long jump, which meant she had to switch her feet, so to go to her left foot and then essentially learn that skill again. That particular injury caused her to miss the Beijing Games, Olympic Games. And it was quite interesting, that particular journey, because it was very well documented. The BBC ran a series about the build-up to London 2012 and the sort of young British athletes that we might hopefully see winning gold medals in London. And then also Jess Ennis, as a profile was raising, was writing, I think, a Daily Telegraph column as well. So it was quite easy to sort of see the processes and the difficulties, but also the coping strategies she was using to manage this big source of strain that we call in psychology literature, this disconnect of her meaning systems. She was using what he would call meaning-focused coping, which is a term learned from Susan Folkman's work, who's one of the forethinkers of how we understand how humans cope. And Jessica Ennis using these quite sophisticated ways of reframing a very difficult situation, but seemingly becoming very skilled at that. And that's an area that my own PhD work looked at in a lot of detail. So, yeah, Jess is a great case study, and then obviously she's gone on to be double world champion now, Olympic champion, mother. And then, sure, there'll be a big spotlight on her at the Rio Games as well. So, yeah, it's sort of interesting how she was able to control her attention and not become overwhelmed by the disconnections that occur when you get a big injury, not just in your... The result of that isn't just in your athletic life, it also bleeds into your social life and everything else as well. And these sort of sources of strain come together, they can become overwhelming, and they can last, you know, a very, very long period of time. But she managed that transition very well and managed to get... become the world champion within, I think, about 2 years of that injury taking place. So it was pretty phenomenal.
Yes, indeed. And I think she's recognised, perhaps many people don't have that insight you've just described, but she's certainly recognised for her all-round excellence. And perhaps some people are inadvertently noticing the kind of resilience qualities you're describing there. We will talk in a few moments then about how people might go about harnessing this insight to manage their confidence and reappraise bad situations. But the actual experience of undergoing a confidence knocking or a threatening moment or some setback, I understand that when that happens, it's important to realise there's actually a biological process happening in your head. It's a hormonal response you have to these threatening moments.
Yeah, so your brain, your HPA axis is firing off, and your brain, people, I think a lot of people understand fight or flight response, you know, that connects to this. So your brain gets in a heightened state of fight or flight response, which can ultimately be damaging to stress management mechanisms. Some good data showing that if you don't get the right balance of chemicals in your brain, then new brain cells won't leave the hippocampus, they won't come out. And also good data showing that new brain cells are absolutely essential for managing stress, because it probably helps us to think around problems more flexibly as opposed to getting a rut in the way that we think about something. So yeah, we are kind of a bag of chemicals to an extent, and when something challenging happens, then we tend to get an imbalance, and that's often why, you know, the first management of any stress is to start to control your breathing, which helps your body to regulate some of this imbalance, if you like, by kind of directly managing the CO2 oxygen exchange mechanism, which your brain's very sensitive about.
And aside from that, which, you know, I'm sure is very useful in and of itself, and I'm sure people can think of moments when, if they just consider that, they might think of moments when that sort of approach might have been useful. But in the Elite Business Athlete, you talk about ways people can actually go about controlling and managing confidence on a regular basis. I know you've talked to just previously about the idea of helpful and unhelpful thoughts. So talk to us a little bit more, if you would, about that and how everyone, regardless of the endeavour they're involved in, not just sport, but business, education, whatever, how they might deploy that to manage and improve confidence levels to enhance their own performance.
Well, first of all, we know that confidence is earned. You build up confidence over a period of time via successes. We also know that the ability to manage stress, although it might seem quite innate in some people, it's a skill, and it seems like people can learn that skill. We can see that at a neurological level, where the parts of the prefrontal cortex, which we use to manage the ape brain, the limbic regions, if people engage in, for very simple language, let's say stress training or stress management exercise training, then the part of the brain responsible for managing the ape brain, they're strengthened, they get bigger. And it seems like a very powerful way to manage stress is to write things down, is to commit things to paper, because if we just think about these things, our brain has a very limited ability to, you know, hold thoughts in our consciousness. They disappear very, very quickly. So our short-term memory only lasts about 30 seconds. So by writing down helpful things, it focuses our brain to pay attention to the helpful things. And if we have some strategies, so we have cozy confidence skills, we have fab confidence skills. These are strategies that allow people to put some structure around what they're paying attention to. And, you know, one of our main vehicles, the performance planner, which is always slightly bespoke for different customers, but there's always a section in that which is about writing down what's helpful for you on any particular day, what's gone well for you today, you know, what progress are you making. So I think in very simple terms, you've got to force your brain to pay attention to what's helpful, to what's going well for you. Because if you leave your ape brain to its own devices, it just pays attention to the unhelpful stuff. Probably the best way to force your brain to do that, to pay attention to helpful things, is to write things down, commit things to paper. Or secondly, you know, tell someone else about it, tell someone the story of what's going well for you. So we can start to reinforce the part of our brain which we need to help us to manage the ape brain.
And you've spoken before about how you have to firstly acquire knowledge and then skill, and then transform that into a habit. And I believe it's fair to say that this applies equally to this process of developing confidence. It becomes a virtuous cycle.
Yeah, because, you know, a confidence skill is really it's a thinking skill. It's how you think. And you can learn to reframe challenges. I spent a whole PhD looking at this stuff, so I've got no doubt that after that PhD, I was a lot better at reframing things because I was practicing it, kind of subconsciously to an extent. But and really, you know, we talk about optimistic and pessimistic people. That's a continuum. Ultimately, you can move up the continuum definitely. So you get better at reframing things. So yeah, it's a skill. And it's something that can be acquired. And unfortunately, we don't teach young people. I was doing some work for a business client, finance client in Luxembourg only last week, and some of the people were saying, why don't we teach children at school this? Well, yeah, exactly. Why don't we do that? Because it's so essential, and we're seeing this, you know, explosion of mental health problems, or certainly our awareness of it is exploding. For teenagers, where mental illnesses typically stem from in the teenage years. But yeah, I feel like we're not really teaching young people simple and practical skills that they can use to manage themselves. We're doing a lot of talk therapy with them, but I don't think that the interventions they're getting are necessarily sort of very simple and very practical and kind of skill-based. So I think there's a lot more we can do with this understanding to actually help more young people to get better at managing themselves. You know, and certainly our clients in the education field are recognising our ability to do that because more and more people contact us about this kind of thing. So, yeah, you know, managing confidence, like everything else we've spoken about, is a skill, and you can teach people how to get better at it. And I think that, you know, confidence is probably the most important thing you can learn how to manage if you want to be happy, sort of healthy, high-performing in life.
That was the Tougher Minds podcast, in which we discussed confidence. Remember, the Elite Business Athlete is the free Tougher Minds ebook, which explains how performance secrets from global sporting icons can be beneficial and transformative for everyone. You can download the Elite Business Athlete from tougherminds.co.uk. It's totally free. Thanks for listening.
If you want to fulfill your potential or help other people fulfill their potential so you can feel great and get the rewards and respect you deserve, then I want to give you a free physical copy of my new best-selling book, because you deserve to know the truth. The most important things for fulfilling your potential are not tips, tricks, hacks, therapy, coaching, meditation, breathwork, goal setting, journaling, or finding your why. I know it sounds irrational because we're so used to hearing about using these things to help us fulfill our potential. But these approaches are outdated and ineffective, and they are based on a big lie.
To find out more and get your free physical copy of Dr. John Finn's best-selling book, The Habit Mechanic, go to tougherminds.co.uk.